What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 23 of the Think Computer's Weekly Tech Podcast, where we sit down and talk about the week in tech and everything that's going on in the tech world. This episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and purchase something, it helps us out and keeps this podcast going. With me, as pretty much every week except for maybe one or two, I have Derek with me this morning. What's up, Derek?
What's up, Bob?
Nothing. I'm tired.
Lower your expectations. Bob might be a little bit off today.
No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm awake. I'm drinking my protein/caffeine shake this morning.
Is that white clearest drink you had the other day?
No, that was BCAAs. This This is my morning drink. This is my new substitute for the really bad energy drinks that I was more or less addicted to.
Yeah.
This is protein powder, chocolate protein powder, almond milk, and then you put like a Starbucks cafe mocha in there. And like a couple ice cubes, and then you put it in the blender, and it's all good.
Nice.
Yeah, it's. I assume it's much better for me than the energy drink.
It would be hard not to be.
Yeah. So, and then protein, what the protein does is it starts your metabolism and all that stuff up. So, if if you're not eating well, or even if you're eating, it helps break that food down faster and kickstarts everything in the morning. So I don't want to be fat. I want to wake up, and I don't want to be fat as well. So, this should help. But actually, this is the same thing that what's his name? If you watch wrestling, Triple H, this is like his go-to thing.
His morning thing.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast and he was on it, and this was his morning thing, so I decided to give it a try. Because nice. I did protein shakes in the past, but mixing it with a coffee makes it so I don't have to have an energy drink as well.
Something makes like sense. That. So yeah, not much else you could mix in there either for caffeine. Well, I guess you could just put caffeine, but.
Yeah,
I think you got a good solution.
Yeah, I think this has worked pretty well so far. And I pretty much do it every morning, so I like it.
Cool.
All right, let's get back to tech.
Why people are watching this or listening to this.
I said people don't watch. That'd be weird. It'd be weird if somebody was watching me right now. I don't know. I mean, we could do a video podcast. It would just be our faces, and I don't know. I probably look really tired right now. So
yeah.
Anyways, we'll start off with our reviews this week. We had two reviews, but they were two pretty awesome reviews. First, we have Zotac's GeForce GTX 980 Ti Amp graphics card, which I took a look at. It is actually the first 980 Ti that I've reviewed. Extremely impressed with this. The 980 Ti, I mean, even the reference model pretty much is the go-to card, right now. It is the highest end card you're going to get, more or less, for its performance, and it's the value of the card. It's just an overall great card, and this is Zotac's take on the card. They actually have three higher models than this, or two or three higher models than this. So this is their slightly overclocked card. I believe it has a 6% factory overclock, which isn't a whole lot, but it has their custom cooling solution on it as well, which is extremely quiet. And it just, the cooling solution has, carbon fiber accents on it, and it just looks like, it just looks really great.
Yeah.
And what's great about this card is it's the exact same price as a reference card. Nice. So you're getting a slight overclock and you're getting the better cooling solution for the same price as a reference card.
This is probably for somebody who would choose this model if they have probably no experience with overclocking, but they want the faster card.
Yeah, and it has the backplate as well. It has a really cool backplate on it.
Yeah, the backplate's cool.
Just an overall good card. Zotac is a company this is kind of what they're known for. They were known for a few other things in the past. They used to do motherboards, and their mini PCs are actually doing pretty well. But they've really, over the past couple years, have really made a big splash in the graphics card market, because they offer some of the highest clocked cards available. And while this one isn't as high as clocked, the quality is in there. It is just a great card. I really can't say anything that bad about it.
Nice.
Just a really good card, and it will be my main card that I'll be using from now on.
Nice.
I like it that much.
What was the cost on it?
Good question. I think it's the same as a reference. I think it might be 569. It's in the review. Hold on. On Amazon, it is 648. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So right in line with all the other GIs.
Yeah. So it's right on there. But yeah, 648. So the retail on the normal cars, I believe, is 659. Cool. So yeah, it's right in line with the reference cards. It's just, like I said, it's just a good overall card. And again, even though it's overclocked, the fans do turn off during the idle, and even light gaming stuff, like things that, you know, the fans don't even spin up. So
yeah,
you know, it's, we've seen,
so I guess that explains the slightly higher idle temperatures.
Yes. Yeah, so that happens when you don't obviously have the fans spinning.
But it doesn't matter, obviously.
But yeah, either. That doesn't matter. I mean, you could be running idle at 70C, really.
Yeah.
And it's not going to make a big difference, you know, but it's, once you start gaming and the temperatures start going up, you want to make sure that the cooling solution, you know, we like to see 70C as the kind of higher end when it comes to the cooling. So
depending on the AMD or NVIDIA card we're
talking
about.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, this, like I said, does a great job cooling. The fans do turn off, so you're not gonna have this, you know, even though the fans aren't extremely loud, but you know, having fans turned off saves you power, and it's not as loud either. So yeah.
Sweet.
Oh, one thing I did want to point out about the card I totally forgot is that the actual cooling solution is all metal. Even the shroud and everything is made of metal. That's nice. Not something you typically see. Typically, you'll see plastic shroud and all of that, and then, of course, the actual cooling solution as far as the heat sink and everything obviously is metal, but the shrouds are usually plastic and a lot of times cheap plastic. This is all metal. It is a high-end card. It's a really nice card, and they make you feel like you're getting a high-end product. A lot of times, companies kind of skimp out on certain things, so it's good to see Zotac, you know, give you a really high-end product at a good price. So, yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Yes. And you took a look at a all-in-one water cooling unit from Silverstone, the TD02E. So I'll let you do your thing and talk about it.
Yeah, I believe this is, it's definitely the first Silverstone all-in-one I've reviewed. This is the first one we've had at ThinkComputers, I believe, right?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. so I didn't know quite what to expect, but when I got it, my immediate impression was this thing is built really, really well. Kind of like Bob was just saying about the Zotac 980 Ti, it's like all of the things that on normal AIOs you would find that are plastic, like the body of the pump body housing, they're all metal on this. A lot of pieces of aluminum. The radiator itself is like a unique design. It's a similar, the fins are similar in design to what you would find on like an air cooler, so they're designed to be really, really efficient as far as how much heat they're going to pass off the ends of them. Every little detail on this is actually like well finished. They've got like carbon fiber inlays on the edge of the radiator rather than just leaving it black. Rubberized pieces for all the fan screws. It's probably the best built AIO that I've tested. And for that reason, that's why I scored it so high. I give it an 8 out of 10 because every single thing about it, from the hardware to from the screws to the fans to everything, is just really well built. Unfortunately, it didn't actually, despite trying everything we could to get it to, it didn't perform that well. It was one of the hotter AIOs that we've used, especially for being a 240mm radiator. It didn't perform that great. We remounted, we maxed the fans out. The pump was definitely up to speed. We're just not too sure why it didn't perform that great. It definitely should have, but it's hard to explain.
Yeah, it's sort of disappointing why this cooler didn't perform the way... I'm not saying the way it should, because you know, a product's built well, but you still, the performance might not be there. There could be an issue it could be a number of things. This didn't come with software either, did it?
No, That was the weird thing I thought with the naming. It was, you know, E in the name.
Yeah.
I kind of thought it would, but it did not.
I think, I don't know. For me, I think that at this point in time, especially this is their second revision, you know, or their second run of AIOs, you should have software with it. These are all, again, you know, they're going off somebody else's design, obviously, whether it's Aztec or one of the other ones. And all of those have the ability to have software.
You know, yeah, it's so, just choosing not to.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, this thing is actually, price-wise, the TD-02E was amazingly cheap. I mean, I actually expected it to be pretty expensive, but it was only $90. So maybe that has to do with the lack of software. But I would pay. I would say you'd pay more to have software.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Not.
It was disappointing that it didn't live up to expectations.
Yeah, it's kind of sad that to see that because again we expected good things. I saw these in person at CES earlier in January, and these looked awesome. They looked really, really good. We always know Silverstone for great quality in all of their products. Pretty much every product I reviewed from Silverstone has been a great quality product as far as the build quality. And this rings true with this product. It's just the performance wasn't there. I just would have liked to see better performance. But again, we tried everything. We tried different testing methods than what we normally do as well, just to see if there was something in within our test method or something like that. But it just turns out it's just not sure.
I don't know if we. It's possible you have a bad unit, but you'd like to think that that's not what you'd get as a reviewer. But
yeah, we'll see. You have the 120 version, right?
Yeah, the TD-03 I have.
Yeah, so we'll see how that does. You know, if it's the same across the board, then it's obviously something that they're using as far as the block or something like that. Something in design is different. I don't know.
Isn't thermally efficient enough or something.
Yeah, so we'll have to see that whenever that review comes out. But yeah. So kind of
still, if you're looking for a good-looking product for a nice build, the performance is good enough, I would say. It's not like this thing is going to, like, make your CPU overheat. You can still put a decent overclock on and use it. But if you're looking to really... You don't want to do custom stuff, get this AIO, because this thing looks really good, and it'll definitely increase the way your case looks as a build.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're looking to do some crazy overclock, this isn't the AIO for you. But obviously it's going to cool better, much better than the stock Intel cooler or AMD cooler, and probably do a lot better than a lot of air coolers as well. Just in our test group, it just didn't perform up to par. Yeah. So.
And we have a pretty high-end test group too, I have to say. Yeah. So it's some pretty stiff competition as far as that goes.
Yeah. So we will move on from that, and those were our two reviews this week. We'll have a bunch more reviews next week, but only two this week. But we have some pretty cool articles. We'll first start with Case Mod Friday, which is today. Today's Friday. So each Friday on the site, we feature a case mod in the community or a build that's really impressed us. And this week we have one which I'm not sure why we didn't cover it before. This mod has been out for a while now, maybe almost a year or something like that. So this is called Strix Soar Sky, and what it is is a completely scratch build that's made to look like the Asus Strix Owl, and it is just the detail and how they made this. This is a fully functional PC that looks like an owl. Looks like the Strix Owl, and it's just made so well. It's by this guy. He goes by Autobot Chow. He's from Thailand.
Okay.
And just the quality in this is just awesome.
It's a crazy one-off.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I assume he was commissioned by Asus to do this. Because I've seen pictures of this mod at different events and everything.
Okay. If he wasn't, I'm sure it was at least purchased by them to use at trade shows and stuff.
Yeah, it's just one of those mods that just look awesome.
Really intelligent in the way he like utilized different pieces of hardware as features on the build too.
Yeah. So it's so hard to explain, but just go and check out the article. Check out the pictures. It's really incredible. Again, the amounts of detail and how he made everything go together, and it's just
this
awesome.
Is one where you're like, this guy could probably be making money in Hollywood or something.
Yeah, the
building sets and stuff.
The amount of detail that's put into this is incredible, and it just looks awesome. So yeah, definitely check that out. And again, if you're into mods or need some inspiration, we have a whole section of Case Mod Friday builds, and not just crazy ones like this. We have simple builds, builds that aren't really that far off from what, you know, a normal person can do as well. So yeah, definitely go ahead and check that out. And it's the end of the month. What does that mean, Derek?
20 of the worst PCs on the market, or in the country, or
yes,
world.
Yes. So we have our
sure from
monthly,
around the world.
at the end of each month, we have a monthly article called 20 of the worst PC setups, where we go out and find people who literally have the worst PC setups in the world. This week, or this month, there's like two in there that are just disgusting.
Some especially raunchy setups.
Yeah, just, you know, this we kind of show off people a lot of times it's people who are moving and they kind of have like a temporary desk or something like that, or they go home for the summer and they're, you know, they're living at their parents' house and they have a small little desk or something like that. But this, we saw a couple of these where people are just dirty messes and they don't know how to clean. There's a few this month that are like that. I don't know if you've gone through these yet.
Going through now, it's disgusting.
The first one on the second page is pretty disgusting. Apparently that's a girl setup, according to the person.
What?
So the first one on the second page is a girl setup, apparently.
What?
Which is disgusting.
That there goes the whole guys are filthy myth.
And then if you go to the third one on the second page, there's no words for that.
this one's like... Like, the other one's disgusting. This is just filthy, though. Like, there's animals in it.
There's
a door in the background.
Yeah, it's like this guy's in this room, and there's trash bags and garbage everywhere. I don't know what that's about.
That's like getting relegated to the dungeon.
Yeah, this kind of looks like this kid's in college, and he's, like, in a fraternity, and this is, like, part of his hazing. It's like, you have to live where we throw all our garbage.
Yeah,
that kind of seems like that, what this is, because there's really no other explanation unless this kid doesn't care about hygiene or that he's living in garbage.
Honestly, I think that my guess would be that his parents are like, you need to move out or go live in the hole in the basement, and he's like, all I want to do is play video games.
Yeah,
and like, he's playing WoW right now on that setup, and he's not stopped playing for the past like week straight.
Yeah, so definitely, if you want to see some funny stuff, if you want to see some really bad setups,
this is a really good one.
Yeah,
this
month's article has a lot of really funny ones. So definitely go ahead and check that out for sure. Again, it's usually our most popular article of the month.
Okay, I'm liking the laptops that people are just like stringing along.
Like, oh yeah, we see a lot
of on their like very last. Like,
a lot of people have laptops, and either the keyboard breaks or something breaks or whatever. So they either or the screen breaks, so they have to connect the laptop to a different screen, or you know, the laptops are kind of broken in pieces, but they can connect the external keyboard and get it to work. Like, all kinds of stuff. When you know, people have overheating problems, so they put a big fan.
Keyboard.
Yeah, like it's really funny. We see a lot of those in the case mod or in the worst PC article. We see a lot of those too. So, definitely check it out. It is a very funny article, and you'll probably feel a lot better about your setup, even if it's not the greatest. It's probably better than most of these.
If you're not sitting in plastic lawn chairs inside your office, feel good.
Yes. So we'll move on from that and we'll get into news. Not a whole lot of news, but the biggest story this week, which I'm sure everybody has at least heard of, I would assume.
Yeah.
I would think it's the biggest launch, I guess. Well, probably their biggest launch, I assume. Microsoft launched Windows 10 officially this week.
Yep.
So you were able to download it for free if you had a legit version of Windows 7, 8, or 8.1. Did you download it yet?
No.
Why not?
Because I'm letting you guys deal with all the bugs first.
There's no bugs. I've been running Windows 10 for, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks now?
I don't know. I've seen some issues. I've seen people having trouble getting it installed. I'm just going to wait it out. I'm going to let the hype die down. And then when nobody else is getting their upgrade, I'll get on it.
I had it on. I did it. Well, I did the technical preview, or what, I don't know what you want to call it. But I did the preview build, or the I don't know what they called it these days. But installed that.
Bob's so old, he doesn't know.
No,
what it's
but
called.
I don't know the actual term. I don't know if it's just called the technical preview or whatever it's called. But anyways, I installed one of the beta builds, or you know whatever they call it, a couple weeks ago. Constant updates throughout the last couple weeks, probably at least one every few days, mm-hmm. which isn't bad. I was on the fast upgrade cycle. You can kind of select that in the settings. I wanted to be on the fast upgrade cycle because I wanted to get the updates as they came out.
Yeah.
No real issues for me off the bat. It is a little weird. So I'm a Windows 7 user. Mm-hmm. It's a little different to get used to, but it's not that...
You've used Windows 8 though in 8.1, right?
Yeah, I have. It's a lot closer to Windows. It's a lot closer to Windows 7 than Windows 8. I
think. Oh, okay.
So it's you have to get used to a few different things, but after I'm using this every day. I'm completely used to it now. And I guess a couple days before the actual launch, we were all upgraded to the RTM or the release the market build. So that's what I'm on, and that's what everybody, if you were downloading it or getting it the past couple days, that's what you would have got.
Seems
and,
good for you.
And I haven't had any issues. I've played games on here. The only real issue was at first, I believe it's probably compatible now or it will be soon, was that Corsair's Link utility.
Corsair Link.
It wouldn't auto run for some odd reason. I'd get an error, but somebody found a solution months ago, and you just change the startup option on it. Mm. But yeah, everything else has worked really. And then I installed it as straight install, like brand new setup, not an upgrade. I installed it as a straight setup on another system here. From a flash drive, no issues really on that. You shouldn't really have that many issues. I think they've really done a great job with getting everything to work the way it should.
The other thing I've read is that currently there's not much of a benefit to it. Like, there's no big differences.
No, there's not a huge lot of differences. I haven't really read up on that stuff, so I really can't tell you.
Okay. This was just a preliminary overview from a different review website. So it might have been a questionable review, of course, but it just didn't sound that impressive.
I don't think there's a whole... I mean, there's some new features and there's some different things. I think if you're upgrading from 7, you'll like it. It's just a cleaner finish. You get a few different features that you didn't have, obviously.
Okay.
That it might have been features in Windows 8, but I'm not...
Are you booting? You notice booting faster or anything? Because that was a big deal with Windows 8, was booting faster than Windows 7.
Yeah, it does boot a lot faster.
Okay.
It's not a huge difference, but there's some things that I like. There's different.
So obviously, though, you think you recommend the upgrade?
I would recommend the upgrade. When I thought about it, when I thought about doing the upgrade, anyways, because I was rebuilding my main system, I was like, I'm going to do the upgrade. I put it on a different SSD just in case something was messed up and I couldn't use it. Mm-hmm. And again, the only problem I had off the bat was the Corsair Link software wasn't doing what I wanted it to do, but now it's working fine. Like I said, I played games on it, and I have an older graphics card in my main system. I have a GTX 680 in there. I don't play a lot of games like on this system, so, I didn't have any issues. NVIDIA already had a Windows 10 driver before Windows 10 was out. All that stuff. So, yeah. No issues.
Good to go.
Yeah, so I would recommend doing it. Again, if you do have the... if you do have a legit copy of Windows 7 or 8 running, you should have seen over the past month a little thing in your taskbar that looks like a Windows logo. You click that, you reserve your spot so the internet wouldn't die when you... when you wanted to download it, and It would download in the background. It would upgrade in the background. You'd restart in your own Windows 10. It's really that simple. I think that's the big thing. I think the way it's been deployed is so much better. It's much like the Mac OS X updates. It just, you know, just works. It works really well, especially, you know, so many people who do use Windows aren't necessarily computer users. So
just because it's the most popular.
Yeah. OS so, in the market. You know, making something that's not really hard to install. I mean, even if you want to install from a flash drive, they have a tool that allows you to do that. It literally, because I use that to install it on my other machine. And literally what it does, you plug in your flash drive, you download the utility, you say which version of Windows, it downloads the version of Windows, puts it on the flash drive in a bootable format, and you're ready to go.
Nice.
But again, the over-the-air update, if that's what you want to call it, or the one that just downloads all the files in the background, restarts your system and you're on Windows 10. I mean, it's that simple.
Sweet.
Yeah. So
at least they made things easy.
Yeah, so I think that's the big thing. The way they did that, I think it's really good for a lot of users, again, who aren't really PC enthusiasts, to just get an easy update and all of that. And I think they did that too is because they really wanted to unify everybody under one operating system. That way they could better support people and all of that. You know, you're not supporting five different versions of Windows.
I don't know, Bob. I think it might be Skynet trying to take over all of our devices.
Yeah. I've been messing with the Cortana feature. That works actually pretty well.
Does it?
Yeah.
I was curious how useful it would actually be on a PC.
I'm not really going to use it, I feel. And it's kind of weird because it's always listening to you, which is weird. Because as soon as you say, hey, Cortana, it, like, pops up. I don't know if it'll do it now because I'm using this mic to record. Hey, Cortana, open Firefox. Yeah, it did.
It did it?
Yeah.
So it's always monitoring everything.
Yeah. Well,
oh, man.
As soon
Big
as
brother
you,
in the room.
Yeah, as soon as you say, hey, Cortana, it, like, start. Like, you know what I mean? So yeah. I assume it's listening all the time. You can obviously turn that off, but it's kind of, I don't know. Like I said, I was messing with it last night because I really didn't mess with it. But yeah, it's pretty cool. All
right. So, well, you know, eventually here.
Yeah, you just get it. Just update. You'll like it.
Okay.
But yeah, so that
I
is
really
out.
Like...
You really like what?
I really like 7, though.
So did I. Believe me, that's why I installed 8 when it came out, and I was like, yep, go on back to 7. This is not the issue with this. I really like it. It just has a better feel than 7, obviously a more modern feel and all of that. I honestly, if it was bad or there's issues with it, I wouldn't suggest upgrading. But if you have the option to upgrade, if you have a legit copy of Windows, there's no reason why you shouldn't upgrade. And then obviously in the future when we have DirectX 12 games and you have a DirectX 12 GPU, you're going to see a much better performance in that respect as well.
Significantly better.
Yeah, so...
Well, supposedly.
Yeah, so you'll see all of that stuff come out later this year and all that. So it's just a good... like I said, I wouldn't suggest it if it was a bad idea, unless I wanted to screw you guys over. But no, I'm running it on my main PC. We'll soon be upgrading all of our test systems to Windows 10 as well. It seems to be a solid platform, so...
Right on.
So, yeah. So... Now that Windows 10 is out, both AMD and NVIDIA did release their graphics drivers. One thing I thought that was kind of funny about the story is like, yay, a new graphics driver from AMD. That it didn't take them, what, over a year?
That's what I thought, too. My immediate reaction was, really?
Yeah. So
why?
both NVIDIA and AMD released optimized drivers for Windows 10. Of course, that makes sense. But it's kind of weird. You're like, okay, is AMD going to release new drivers or... they did, and
that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm sure the old drivers will get us along for another year, right?
Yeah, and AMD did in their new driver. It's the 15.7.1. It updates some problems and fixes some things. And the NVIDIA driver, which is the 353.62, it has new application profiles, SLI profiles, and all of that in there as well. So. Yeah, good
which
to
is a
see
pretty
that.
big deal.
Yeah.
If you go into games and you've got an SLI rig and it doesn't work, so.
Yeah, so they've updated a bunch of SLI profiles for some of the most popular games. AMD side, they fixed a ton of issues. Looks like almost 20, 30 different things they fixed. So it's good. It's good on both sides to see that. Obviously, we expect it from NVIDIA. Good to see AMD follow suit as well.
Yep.
Yes. So.
And that is the WHQL driver for NVIDIA. I'm sure they've already probably got another advanced beta driver that you can get on as well.
Yeah. So, talking about NVIDIA, it looks like the specifications of their upcoming GeForce GTX 950 graphics card have been leaked. This is going to be their new entry-level card. It is... I'm trying to think what it takes the place of. It takes the place of the... I can't think right now. It's too early.
Well, 750 Ti, you list in the article, but...
Yeah, yeah.
Hasn't there been a newer entry level since then?
Nope. Wow. The original Maxwell. It replaces the original Maxwell entry level, which is the 750 Ti.
Hmm.
Yeah. So this is kind of cool for NVIDIA. They're going to try to take a shot at that entry level spot. So it is going to be based on the GM206, which is the same. GPU that's in the GTX 960, but it's going to have a quarter of its CUDA cores disabled. So you're going to have 768 CUDA cores, 48 TMUs, and 32 RUPS, as well as a 128-bit wide memory interface holding 2 gigabytes of GDDR5. It's expected to have clock speeds of anywhere from 1150 to 1250 megahertz for the core, and it should boost up to 1350 to 1450 megahertz. And, the memory should be anywhere between 6.6 gigahertz to 6.75, or not gigahertz.
Yeah.
Yeah, gigahertz. I have megahertz in the article. I should probably change that.
I was wondering. I was like, that's pretty slow.
Yeah, no. 6.0. Yeah, that's why I said gigahertz first. I was like, it's 6.6 to 6.75 gigahertz. It's GDDR5 effective, obviously. So, yeah.
It's actually really not terrible.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an entry-level card, $100 to $150. This is for... If you want to kind of break past the discrete GPU or the integrated GPU and you want to get to a discrete solution, this will be the first one that you're going to get.
This will get you into low settings, 1920 by 1080.
Yeah. So, the card's expected to launch on August 17th, so we should see it pretty soon.
Cool. And it's going to be headed up against the R7 370.
Yes. So AMD is also rolling out an entry level card to kind of combat the upcoming GTX 950. It will be the Radeon R7 370X, and that card it will be using the Trinidad XT chip, and it will make full use of the chip. That card will have 1,280. GCN stream processors, 80 TMUs, 32 ROPs, and a 256-bit wide GDDR5 memory interface, you should have the option to hold 2 or 4 gigabytes of memory.
Yeah, that's twice the bandwidth.
Yeah, so this is obviously going to take the place of the R9 270.
Cool.
So yeah, we'll have some, we just had the big high-end war, if that's what you want to call it, last month. And now we have the low-end one going on, so it's kind of cool.
Good luck to AMD, they need this.
I don't think they're going to do well, but...
they've always done okay low-end.
I thought
that's probably what gimps them along.
Yeah. So we'll see how both cards do when they are both released. We assume pretty soon for each one. There was no date given when to expect the 370X, but it should be coming out quite soon.
Yeah, they can't wait too long.
Yeah.
If anything, they should try to beat it to market.
Yes.
Beat the 950. And hopefully we get a couple of these in for review.
Yeah, it's good to always see the low end, see what you can do.
Yeah, see what gets you in the door.
Yeah, what gets you in the door, and again, not everybody has, $600 to spend on a graphics card.
Yeah, a lot of people don't.
Yeah, a lot of people don't. So this is the kind of entry level if you only have a few hundred dollars.
Like $600 could get you a whole entry level PC, essentially. So
yeah.
And the more people we have on PC, the better for everyone.
Yes, PC master race.
Yes.
So we'll talk about Skylake, which I know you're excited for. MSI showed off, I would say this is, I know I like those Gigabyte boards, but this thing is awesome. They showed off, they've been leaking pictures or showing pictures on their Facebook of their Z170A X-Power Gaming Titanium Edition motherboard. And this motherboard is just awesome.
It ticks a lot of boxes for a lot of people.
It looks to be a silver PCB, which I don't think we've ever seen before.
Yeah, I don't think it's quite white. It's
definitely silver. It's a silver PCB. This is their X Power line, so you know MSI X Power from the past. And it's silver PCB, silver heat sinks, so there's some black in there.
Titanium chokes.
Yeah, the board looks awesome, looking at it. And then you have certain features. You have the brand new titanium chokes, which will give you the best power. Looks to be a 16-phase power design. Okay. This board is made for overclocking. It has a really cool thing called their OC dashboard, which is a little PCB that connects to the top of the board and allows you to manually overclock. One thing that's cool about this OC dashboard is that you can disconnect it from the board and connect it via a cable instead. So if you're using LN2 to do your cooling, you won't freeze these buttons and all of that.
And you can kind of have it closer to where you're working maybe than where the board's at.
Yeah, so you can kind of have all that stuff. Again, it just allows for manually overclocking.
Thermal armor in the back.
Yes, thermal armor on the back. Of course, we've seen that from Asus, and a lot of companies are following suit. Just a great board. 3 M.2 slots, eight total SATA ports with 2 SATA Express ports. Obviously, integrated audio with their audio solution. 3 PCI Express X16 slots. I think 2 of those are full bandwidth, and 1's an X4.
Equal spacing for quad SLI.
Yes. So much stuff. Just go check out this board. It is one of the best looking boards. I really want to get this into review.
You know, the only thing it's missing is the in-out shroud that we've seen on every single leaked 170 picture so far.
Yes.
So it still looks good.
Yes. But
there's something about those shrouds, though, really does...
You like that, huh?
I like that a lot. It looks really good.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. But
I'm just going to have to wait to see. Definitely, yeah, shopping right now.
When these boards come out, there's going to be so many awesome boards over, you know, I would say
over the next couple months.
Yeah, because I think even, you know, whenever these are supposed to launch, we probably won't see all of the boards come out. We saw that with Z97. I think Asus only launched like 5 boards. And then down the line, they released, like, their Sabertooths and everything after. you know, so we're going to see a lot of different boards come out from now till the end of the year, probably.
Yeah. Which is kind of a tricky thing. I don't know if you've got... No, you don't have it in the news. But I did read an article saying that Skylake might be in short supply.
I did see that, too. I didn't read that article. But
which
I
makes it tricky as far as you want to get a chip... But do you really want to buy a chip and not a board?
Well, if
you know what I mean? Because if the good boards aren't coming out for a couple months, are you going to buy a chip now and then wait, sit on it?
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be a tough decision.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I don't know what to do.
We shall see. I don't know.
Yeah. But, or that's just rumor and there's plenty of chips.
But I do have to say... I mean, I was excited for when Z97, but all these Z170 motherboards seem to just be taking it to the next level.
Yeah.
I think there's just so much competition in the motherboard space now. You know, we've always known Asus to be the big boy in the motherboard space, and now everybody is doing everything they can. They're putting so many features even on the low-end motherboards. There's just so much in these now because the landscape is so competitive. It just makes the boards better.
And we are all winning as a result.
Yes. So, that is the Z170A X-Power Gaming Titanium from MSI. Really excited to see this in, like, see real pictures. Because these are the what you want.
Are these leaks too?
No, this is from MSI. MSI put this on their Facebook.
Oh, really? Yeah. See, I'm looking really closely though at the last picture with the reactive armor.
I think it's a different board.
I think it is too, because I'm noticing there is a cover for the in out, and it's got red theme on the side of it.
Yeah, and the board's black.
Right, good call.
Yeah, but I think this reactive armor will be on a lot of the boards.
Okay. They probably just didn't have a picture of it for this board.
Yeah.
The platinum board, yeah.
Yeah.
Or, excuse me, the titanium.
I believe their reactive armor should be on their higher-end boards as well. So, like, you know, each company has, like, in their certain line, they have, you know, board 1, 2, 3, or 4. This mm-hmm. reactive armor should be on the highest-end board.
Okay.
In each category, I believe.
Right.
So yeah, great looking board. Excited to see it when it actually comes out.
And it would be really cool if MSI actually becomes one of the really highly competitive names this time around. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I'd like to see that as well. You know, we do have Asus and Gigabyte who usually hold the top spots, and then it usually goes down MSI and ASRock. And I think mm-hmm. those are like and then EVGA is sort of in there, but not really.
EVGA is like, some boards are good, some boards are not good. EVGA, sometimes we have them, sometimes we don't.
Yeah, EVGA's main business is their graphics card business.
Definitely.
But talking about Skylake, Skylake CPUs will be headed to the Intel Compute Stick and Intel's NUC products.
Nice.
So you'll see a whole refresh of both of those. The Compute Stick is an awesome little product. It's basically the size of an HDMI dongle. I mean, it is an HDMI dongle, but it is a full PC in that extremely small form factor. We talked about this on the podcast probably a couple months ago when it was actually first released. Mm-hmm. Really cool product. Just allows pretty much anybody to have a PC that you know, needs just a simple internet machine or a streaming mm-hmm. machine or something like that. And these
anybody
usually
with a TV with an HDMI input can yeah. have a computer on it.
Yeah, so really cool product. So we'll see a refresh of those coming, and you'll see a refresh of the NUCs, which have been really popular as well. They're Intel's mini PC type systems. A lot of them are fanless. We've seen really cool integrations with those.
Yeah, they're about the size of a paperback book, and you can use them just about anywhere.
Yeah, you can, and they're great because Intel has made so many optimizations on the processors. They can even be in coding machines, or, you know, there's a lot of different functionalities you can do with these products. So it is just, you know, good to see that we'll see refreshes of both of these products coming in the fall. So excited!
You know, we've been mostly talking about, you know, the desktop chip and the motherboards, you know, Z170, but like, we're going to see a lot of notebooks and laptops and stuff,
yeah,
so that's pretty exciting, too.
Whenever Skylake actually does officially come out, you're going to see the mobile side on it is going to be pretty big as well.
Which we're both also looking forward to.
Yes, because I need a new laptop.
Yeah, badly.
So, yeah, really excited for Skylake on both the desktop and mobile side of things. And we'll talk about Razer, who I don't know if we've ever talked about Razer on the podcast.
We don't talk about Razer much, no.
Because they don't release...
We don't really review their products.
Sometimes we have, but it's just like they don't... We don't really cover a lot of new products here on the podcast. We usually talk about what's going on in the industry or things that mm-hmm. are coming. We don't really talk about a lot of new products. But this is kind of interesting is that Razer sort of bought out Ouya. I think that's how you say it. Which Ouya was one of the first companies. They actually did an original Kickstarter to for an Android-based gaming console.
Right.
So Razer bought out their software assets, and they also acquired the I'm trying to read this.
Their game developers.
Yeah, their developers.
Their whole staff, essentially.
Their whole staff. Razer basically kind of absorbed them. I think what Razer's doing for this is they're really trying to get a lot of content and a lot of development for their Forge TV platform, which is Razer's Android gaming platform.
Yeah, which we saw really, really being pushed at CES this past year when we visited them. They were really, you know, they had several products for it, and it was interesting, but they really want to build this ecosystem for it, and possibly they're having trouble with that, so maybe this was a good purchase to boost that
and
keep it alive.
Yeah, I think this is good for Razer. I don't know if it. I still don't think it's the smartest thing. Maybe I don't know how much they paid for it. That's
weird. Yeah.
But I think this just kind of eliminates the other competition. I think the only other competition they have is on the NVIDIA side.
Yeah, NVIDIA's got one. And...
Yeah. The big competition, I would say.
Yeah. It's like, it was a big, there were a lot of Android consoles at CES, right? But yeah. Since then, have we seen much from it?
I think the reason why we don't see a lot is because we don't really cover Android gaming. It is a big market. Yeah. These companies wouldn't be coming out with these products if it wasn't a big market.
That's true.
Not everybody plays, you know, the games that we play, you know, the 60 FPS type games, all the new AAA titles. A lot of people just want to play the arcade style Android games, all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So suppose we do need to think about others.
Not everybody is the PC master race like us. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely a market there, and if Razer really wants to capitalize on that market, acquiring Ouya is sort of the best thing for them. So yeah, so that happened this week.
Good luck to them.
Yes. Would like to see some really cool stuff, you know. So
I mean, yeah, they should, you know, send us a console. We'll take a look at it.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll be interested.
I mean, it should be. It is... you know, gaming is a lot of fun. It doesn't really matter what platform. If the game is good, it is.
It's true. As much as we love PC, we do want to see people just game.
Yeah. So, and it's cool because, you know, a lot of times you kind of just want to relax in front of the TV and play just a chill game that, you know, that you don't have to be really
like
invested
a
in.
A stupid game.
Yeah.
Essentially,
like,
yeah.
I mean, when Angry Birds first came out, like, I was playing that nonstop just because it was just, like, fun. Like, it was just dumb fun. And
it, like, lets your brain disconnect, kind
of. Yeah, so that's what I think a lot of Android gaming is as well. It's kind of that type of thing.
Okay.
So, we'll move on from that to our last story of the week. Not a whole lot this week, but
no.
We have some pretty cool 3D Mark world records were set by EVGA and their in-house overclocker, Kingpin.
Yeah. Which we were talking about. We were like, I wonder if he's got the world records yet.
Yeah, so...
When we were looking at the card.
So his, was it last week the card was released?
I think it was last week we talked about that.
Yeah, so the EVGA GeForce GTX 980 Ti Kingpin Edition came out last week, and it looks like they were shooting to break some world records with the card overclocked and all of that, and it looks like they did that.
Yeah, which when we saw it, we were like, this thing is a world record breaker. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, so...
It's the one with the all-copper cooling solution and tons of VRMs and chokes. And...
Yeah, so what he did is obviously he wasn't using that cooling solution.
No.
He went with LN2 and overclocked the graphics card all the way up to 2 gigahertz, and he broke and set new world records for the 3D Mark Firestrike, 3D Mark Firestrike Extreme, and 3D Mark Firestrike Ultra. So he holds the world records for all of those now, which is pretty impressive. And that's a very good marketing thing to sell his own graphics card.
Yeah.
So.
And to be honest, it's definitely marketing, but I don't think we're looking at hype here because these cards are undoubtedly cherry picked chips.
Oh yeah, his cards
very
are,
well built.
Yeah, his. Cards
if you are...
are
looking for a card to overclock with, Kingpin Edition 980 Ti is. One to look at for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, really cool to see that. We always like seeing overclocking world records being broken. It just shows you how far things can be taken.
Not only does he have that that card overclocked to two gigahertz, he's also got the core clock on his 5960X to 5.5, so definitely enjoying the LN2 over there.
Yes, so pretty awesome stuff from EVGA and Kingpin. We'll see if somebody else can break it. I assume now that these world records are set, somebody's out there trying to break them.
Yeah, probably next week.
Yeah, so really cool stuff. Obviously good to see the industry push and, you know, get the best scores out there possible.
I love this stuff personally. Yes. I think it's awesome.
Yes, you do. So that is it for the news this week. Kind of boring. I wouldn't say boring week. The big thing was Windows 10.
Yeah,
which you should upgrade to, as I always say.
Seems like something's coming though, so we'll probably have some more news for you real soon.
Yes. So next week, we have some reviews coming.
Really?
No, no reviews for the rest of the year. Everybody is off till we go to CES.
Right on.
Anyway, so I'll be taking a look at a graphics card. I'll be taking a look at MSI's R9 380 Gaming 4G graphics card. Nice. That, of course, is their take on the R9 380 with the 4 gigabytes of memory. It's the part of their gaming series, which looks awesome. Really cool black backplate and all of that. So that will be next week.
Looks like a good card.
It's a good card. Well, I mean, in its category, it's a good card.
Right.
It's not a 980 Ti or anything.
We have to be specific when we're talking AMD.
And then I'll be taking a look at the ADATA Premier SP610. I wanted to get it up this week, but I just had too much stuff going on, so that'll be up next week for sure. Decent card, solid-state drive. My mind just went crazy there.
entry-level card.
It's based on Silicon Micron, I need to go back to bed.
Have I told you?
It's a Silicon Micro controller that we talked that we saw in two other drives that we reviewed. It's a good overall controller. Not as high-end as some of the other ones, but it will get the job done. Obviously better performance than a mechanical hard drive. And then, not you, but the other Derek, will be looking at the Fractal Design Core 1500 case.
Which is a pretty neat-looking case.
Yes, it is a little nice guy. Yeah, it's a nice case from Fractal Design. They always do good stuff. We love their products as well. So,
this review will be next week?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yay.
That'd be cool to see.
Yeah, so we'll have all of that for you. And that is it. So, at the end of each podcast, before I fall back asleep, we talk about something that we did this week or something we checked out or something that you might like to check out. Did you do anything cool this week? Probably not. Oh, you went to Chicago. Tell everybody about
it. Well, I went to Chicago, yeah. I went bike racing. What?
Okay, tell everybody. So you did an Airbnb.
I did an Airbnb, yeah.
How did that work out for you?
Well, I was pretty nervous about it, to be honest, because like, I booked one that was a room with an ensuite in a shared space, so I'm like in a condo, and I was like, oh, this is gonna be awkward, you know, it's cheap, of course, because I wasn't looking to spend a lot of money, and I was gonna save a couple $100, and I was like, but I was super apprehensive about it. And we text the guy when we're about a half hour out, and he's like, well, the person that was staying in the condo ended up overstaying, so I'm gonna have to move you to my other condo. So he ended up moving us to, I don't know if you've ever seen the building in Chicago with the, it's like a circular building. It's all concrete, and like the parking ramp is like the cars face out on it. So when they always want to like drive cars out of into the river, like for commercials and stuff.
No.
No? Well,
I'm not an expert on Chicago.
Okay, well, it's been in the movies, Bob.
Okay, but anyways.
Anyways, we end up staying there, and it was really nice, and the guy was really cool. So, first Airbnb experience was good.
Now, here's the thing. It would have been really bad if you're, like, halfway out. He's like, oh, yeah, somebody else is staying here. You're screwed.
Yeah, I would have been pretty pissed. Yeah. I don't know what we would have... I guess we would have had to stay at a real hotel.
Yeah, so... But is that your first time in Chicago?
No.
Oh, you've been there a bunch?
Bunch of times, yeah.
Nice.
We usually just stay in a hotel. But this was for a bike race. I didn't want to spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I was trying to be closer
to... Did you win your race?
No. Ugh. No, I had some... A couple crashes happen right in front of me. And wound up... Yeah, unfortunately.
You gotta bring home a trophy for Think Computers.
I know. Well, Think Computers should sponsor me, and then I'll work on it.
I'll send you some SSDs.
To make me faster on my bike?
Yeah, we'll put the SSDs on the bike.
Okay.
Well, I'll send you a bunch of fans and put them on the back of your bike and make you faster.
Okay, I'll rig up some batteries and stuff. Yeah.
So, me this week. I didn't really go anywhere like you, but... Actually, surprisingly, last night I watched a new show on it's on Amazon. It's one of their Amazon originals, and they just did the pilot, and that's all that they have done. The pilot was actually, apparently, it's the most watched pilot ever on Amazon Amazon Prime. And it's called Man in the High Castle, and it's sort of like you would call it sci-fi, but it's about if the Germans had won the war and the United States is run by both Germany and Japan. It's pretty cool, But again, it's only the first episode. Yeah. It has been picked up, so they will be making a full series, but you just don't know when, which is kind of bad. When you watch it, you're like, oh, I need, you know, you need to watch the rest. But if you're into that kind of stuff, if you like history or if you like anything like that, definitely worth checking out if you have Amazon. Really, really nice. Cool show. Oh, you also said this week that you finally went back watched the first season of Halt and Catch Fire.
Not only did I go back and do it, but I dedicated myself to it this week. I watched the whole season in like 3 days.
See, so. The first season is all about PCs more than the second season, second season's about. That's why I was like, I can't believe you didn't watch the first season.
Well, I didn't know. The first episode I watched was like the third or fourth episode in the second season.
Oh, wow. I don't know how to do that. I can't.
And then it wasn't available. The first season wasn't on demand, so I didn't look around for the first season. But I'm glad I did, because now I actually know what happened. And it was really cool. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, really, really cool show if you're into computers, for sure. So I think that's it for the podcast this week, unless you have anything else you'd like to add.
No, I think that's, just a short week this week.
Yeah, short week, not a whole lot of news. We'll have a ton of stuff next week, I assume. So, until next week, guys, talk to you later.